This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-1645. That's 800-600-1645. 800-600-1645.
The Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Kamal Ravikant is with us. Rebirth, A Fable of Love, Forgiveness, and the Following of Your Heart. A good friend of mine, a brilliant writer, and a brilliant man, one of the more kind men I know as well, and really thoughtful on how you approach life. So you bottomed out. Mm-hmm. You lost everything. You come over here, for anybody who's joining us, you come over here from India at 9. Your father is abusive. Your mother says, not going to raise you here. You're homeless for a while. A tough, tough upbringing, but a loving mom. You join the military. Your dad dies. You go over to India. You go to the Himalayas. I mean, you're a movie. And then you come back. You go to Silicon Valley, and you and your brother at the same time are hitting it?
My brother got there first.
Okay. For anybody who doesn't know, Ravikant is kind of a royal name in Silicon Valley, if I can embarrass you a bit. and then you lose everything. Mm-hmm. You just said, if I had the strength, because you were so sick, I would have thrown myself off the Bay Bridge.
Correct.
What was the turning point?
Turning point was actually, I watched this talk, TED Talk by Rick Warren. I don't think I've ever told this publicly before. Huh. And it's my favorite TED Talk. And at the end, he goes, you know, he's sitting there kind of just like giving a very casual talk. And he's talking about the purpose-driven life. And he's talking about how he said, you know, in the end, we're all betting on something. Find what you're betting on and go in. And I thought at that point, okay, I'm going to bet on something and get it, either go all in or die trying. So just bet on this. I was going to get better. I made a vow to myself that I was just going to figure out a way to get out of it.
So did you bet on an investment, or did you?
No, I bet on myself, on my inner self.
I just
sat around and worked on my inner self and to get myself out of it. Because ultimately, it's all inside. You know, like everything, we're stuck in our head. So I just worked on this, and I got better. But it was like that focus, full-on vow. I'm a big believer in commitment. Because once you commit, the ships, they don't burn, they explode behind you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the only way.
Once you can get to a place to where you can see it finished, you've done so much work that you're like, it's not convincing yourself.
Mm-mm.
It's just, all of a sudden, it just rings true. It's done.
Yes.
And then your life changes.
It transforms. It really does.
Yeah.
And my life changed. And I built myself back up, and I started writing these books to share what I learned, and they started doing very well. And me being the real me, not trying to be some hotshot Silicon Valley guy, me just talking about my failures.
Yeah.
And it's
most
been amazing.
People would meet you and they'd have no idea that you're a hotshot Silicon Valley guy. let's talk a little bit about what is America? What is it? You say it's an ideal.
Mm-hmm. I think ultimately for me, you know, the gift Silicon Valley gave me is the fact that everyone there is doing something, dreaming and building, mm-hmm. which is what America is for me. We always try to create something better and be better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, America was an experiment that could have very easily failed when it started. You know, the founders could have been shot by the British and that would have been it. You know, it's about taking risks. It's about falling flat on your face, you know. And in Silicon Valley, we don't punish failure. If you did your best, you really tried something, it didn't work, we'll invest in you again. That, I think, separates, that's why Europe will never be able to create a Silicon Valley. Because every European entrepreneur I know is terrified of failing. They'll never be able to do anything ever again if they fail. Silicon Valley,
failure teaches you really important lessons. Failure is just as important as success. In fact, success can be crippling.
Yeah, you know, Hemingway said the worst thing that can happen to a writer is early success.
Yeah.
You know, like I was writing and obsessively writing that book for over a decade.
Holy cow.
Like 8 full drafts, sending them to agents and publishers, getting rejection letters. And those rejection letters were the best gift I ever got.
Yeah.
Because it made me become a better writer. Mm. You know, otherwise I'd be writing very clever dribble. not from the heart.
Yeah, yours is really on it. I mean, there's something, I don't know. Have you ever heard people say that about your writing? There is something completely unique about your writing, and it's not pretentious, ostentatious. It's not like clever, like you're trying to do something. It's just so authentic. Your sentence structure is different. I mean, it's really good.
Thank you. Thank you.
So where are we on the American life cycle?
Oh, that's a great question. We're some interesting times, that's for sure. But, you know, like, I get to meet, you know, because I run a fund now that I invest in entrepreneurs, right? So even Silicon Valley, like, people come from all the world to be entrepreneurs there. So it's the American dream is very much alive. It's a matter of choosing who you want to be.
You and I were talking yesterday off air about this concept of that Silicon Valley is in its own bubble, mm-hmm. and it doesn't relate to the rest of the country in some ways. You invested in a company. What is it? The RV
company. Shares, my favorite.
Yeah, and what is it?
It's Airbnb for RVs. It's amazing. It's brilliant. It's a 12-man team. And they built it from scratch. You know, 12-man. There's a few women and men. Yeah. Team in Cleveland, Ohio, in this little office park, and they're changing people's lives. You have an RV, and all of a sudden you can make a living off it by just renting it out just to individuals. It makes it stupid simple. People come find your RV, they rent it.
Silicon Valley would have never thought of that.
They thought of Airbnb,
right?
But they didn't think of RVs, which is outside of Silicon Valley.
Right. This is would you compare this time of history to the War of the Currents, of the Industrial Revolution?
Industrial Revolution. There's changes coming that, you know, are just going to transform society.
What are people, and this is something that we've talked about working together on, because I talk to the people in Silicon Valley, and I'm both energized and in a way horrified, because no one is talking about what's coming. And the change is so, it is the difference between living in on a farm with no telephone, no electricity, no plumbing, and 10 years later, you're living in a city. I mean, it's profound change that is coming. And nobody is explaining this to the center of the country. It's exciting and exhilarating, but it's going to change the way we think, and nobody's really preparing. Everybody's, like, for instance, education is still preparing us for the 1950s.
Oh gosh, yeah, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. Like, I would never hire someone just straight out of a traditional education. The best people I've ever met have hired, barely got your high school, but they were doers. You know, like, traditional education these days does not prepare you to start companies.
It doesn't.
And I think the American
It actually hurts.
It hinders you. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Because you think in that box.
You'd think that everything's taken care of you, where if you start something from scratch, as you know, you do everything. You mop the floors, you make the sales calls, you take all the risks. But that is the American dream.
Most exciting thing that you have seen that maybe others have missed or isn't out? What's the most exciting trend line or idea that you have heard that you think is game-changing?
Well, I think ultimately the nearest term stuff is going to be like augmented reality. People talk about virtual reality. Augmented reality is just here. Like, all these things, you know, all these beautiful things you have here, they didn't have to be here, but they'll just be all projections that you put on glass and you just see there. So that's actually coming. That's actually even more interesting than virtual reality.
Because it interacts with
your
real
current reality.
What do you have to wear? Glasses?
Glasses. But maybe contacts after a while. It's really interesting, and no one really knows where this is going to go.
Right.
People can guess, because ultimately, as we talked about, technology is a tool.
Yeah.
It's up to, you know, I think one of the things that you mentioned that people on this side versus that side don't understand, like here's Silicon Valley, here's somewhere on a farm, there's no one speaking a common language.
Yes.
We speak a very different language in Silicon Valley and a very different language here.
Yes.
Which is, I think, what we need. Like a middle ground, a bridge that speaks.
People don't know. Nobody's talking to the people in the center of the country from Silicon Valley. And so they're just seeing these products roll out. But it's not. It's about fully changing the way you think about everything. And I think the people in the center of the country, are going to be thrilled when they see it. And they will find, you know, the guy who did the original radio tube. I'm trying to remember his name, but he made the radio tube, the amplifying tube. Uh-huh. He didn't even know what it was for. He didn't have any idea what it was for. Another guy comes along years later, named Armstrong, and he says, "Oh my gosh, I can amplify sound so you don't have to have headphones anymore. I can use this tube to amplify." The guy who invented it didn't even see that as the application. And that's what's going to happen when you include the rest of the country.
Yes. And you know, like true create, like the best inventors are the guys in the garage and playing with stuff, yeah. You know, so there's so many out there. I think if there is a closer collaboration of just language, you're going to create all these new entrepreneurs. Yeah. And new inventors out there that don't exist yet.
Scariest thing you see on the horizon?
Virtual reality. We talked about this before as well. It's amazing what it can be, but also it can be an amazing drug that will just pull you away from reality, which is what a drug does. You know, just escape reality. And then we lose the incentive to go and change to... I think ultimately we're all responsible for our lives.
Yeah.
And we have to step up and take control and, as your son-in-law, make a choice. Right, but if we're always escaping, that doesn't happen, and we lose. I think we'll lose something fundamentally as a human being in that process. So that I'm concerned about.
Especially how far are we from perfecting that, the virtual reality?
It's here. I mean, it's a matter of
how long before we have the suit where you can feel the pressure
the tactile
of touch
and
the they have that.
Yeah, they
to
do
make
have
it,
that already.
Yeah, to make it mass market.
Wow.
Years, few years.
Like 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 5 years.
There's all these interesting things coming out that, yeah, that you can just lose yourself, which is the scary part.
Really scary.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that want to lose themselves.
And I think that could hold us back as human beings and as a society. Mm-hmm.
How concerned are you with the gathering of so much information? Not that anybody is doing it in a nefarious way now, but all you need is an excuse. And all of a sudden, the government can take this.
Yeah. You know, it's like civil liberties are very easy to take away, you know, very hard to get. You know, we've had them, and we've lost some of them, and we're going to lose more. Everyone in Silicon Valley, like most people we were talking about earlier, people I know in Silicon Valley, they don't use SMS. They use these secure messaging apps that are just, you know, not that we have anything to hide.
Yeah.
But if it tells you the people at the forefront are thinking this way.
I use Confide. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
I use Signal.
Signal.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and really, like, whenever I go through TSA, I always get put aside, get padded. I don't care. I have nothing to hide. But still, you start thinking, like, if these things are happening, where's it going to go next?
Yeah.
As long as I don't lose due process, I don't mind being frisked. If I lose due process, then I'm in trouble. Right? Same thing with collecting information. It's very innocuous. But then... everyone is being passively being spied on, and then you can basically, you have control over everyone when you know what they're doing.
I've only got a couple seconds left with you, but let me ask you this. We're talking about fake news, and the answer to that is everybody needs to be more responsible. And we've done it before. I mean, fake news has been around since the town criers, you know. Ancient Rome, they had fake news. You can count on it. We have to be more responsible as human beings and more engaged and discerning. I've talked to, even Ted Koppel said to me in an interview, he said, "Don't you think that we need to license people who have these websites and blogs and journalism?" And I said, "No." But that's where a lot of people will start heading as things, you know, continue down this path. Yeah, they already are. So can people shut the internet and information down? Do you think that's possible at this point?
When you said people, you mean?
Do you think a government could come in and really shut down the freedoms that we have online?
Sure. Look
in
at China. You know, they have an entire, you know, full-time job there, shutting it down. They do a pretty decent job. You know, and you do it, you know, all of it's done step by step. That's the scary part. You know, it's like when you put a frog and you boil it slowly. That's what scares me, right? So that's why I'm a big believer in civil liberties and due process, is that, you know, at least we have the system of law. Yeah. Where you can challenge that. When you can no longer challenge in secret courts, that's when we have problems.
The name of the book is Rebirth, Kamal Ravikant. I can't recommend it highly enough. Grab it, read it, you'll love it. Rebirth, Kamal Ravikant. Thank you, Kamal. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. You bet.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-600-1645. That's 800-600-1645. 800-600-1645.